I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Dr. Chase Cunningham, a retired Navy Chief Cryptologist, a Security and Risk Analyst at Forrester, co-founder and CTO at the Sinja, and author of the book, Cyber Warfare, Truth, Tactics, and Strategies, Strategic Concepts and Truths to Help You and Your Organization Survive on the Battleground of Cyber Warfare. Chase's book, Cyber Warfare, Truth, Tactics, and Strategies, is available on Kindle and paperback on Amazon. Chase, welcome back. It's so great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me. I wonder what movie we're going to talk about this time.
Probably Terminator. for today, I think with the current events that are happening, I wanted to talk to you about how social media platforms can be potentially weaponized to manipulate narratives. And as we've been hearing more and more about disinformation in the news and on social media, I think, at least for me, I just think there's a general lack of understanding around who the bad actors are and why they do what they do. So to start off, what are some examples of those who would want to create these fake narratives?
Well, it could be a whole bunch of different, actors that might do this. If you kind of think about what's been a big deal for major sort of nation state level or organizations where they say flat out, like, chaos is the goal. I mean, the win there is that they could find an influencer's account, leverage that influencer's account, and then spread misinformation. And by the time the truth comes out, people don't know what is real and what's not anymore. And that is a very dangerous thing in a world where stuff moves almost at the speed of light. So that's one. The other is, and this has shown up already in a few instances, of you take over an influencer's account, you push something out into the media, social media side, and then you short a stock. And you, when the stock rebounds, you make money off of it and sell what you've got. So I think that that's kind of showing up in a couple of areas, and it's something that is worth paying attention to. And then lastly, there's just the ability to use some of these channels and capabilities to just make people question what is real, what is true.
Okay. And so I think it's really clear with the shorting the stock and chaos being the goal for nation states, but why is it the chaos as well for people to just use these channels to spread disinformation and make people question what is real? Like what's kind of behind that?
Well, you have a whole bunch of, I mean, the unfortunate thing about social media is that it's social. So, I mean, anyone anywhere can create an account and target others based on something that's, interesting to them. Like if I wanted to go after somebody that I think makes really bad, I don't know, truck tires, you could go after the CEO of that company's Twitter account or, LinkedIn or whatever else, and figure out how to get into it and then post something that says, we admit we make the crappiest truck tires on the planet. And that could be bad for that company, but because by the time they respond, it's too late. And the other issue that we have is people typically respond to, influencer stuff basically like, this must be real, this must be true, rather than like, why are they saying this? And how else can I validate that this is a thing?
That makes sense. And since people do take what influencers say sort of as gospel, I suppose, it's interesting because we're now in a position where we also need to be like fact checkers in a way, which kind of puts a burden on people as well. So that's interesting. I'd like to hear what you say.
Well, I've had some folks that I never had my account, knock on wood, compromised yet, but I've had some people that have kind of come in after I've posted videos or whatever, and they've sort of thrown in, content that is not known to be valid or accepted. Mm. And then the question becomes for me as the person that posts the content of like, well, do I nuke this and, irritate that person because they think they had something to say, or do I let it stay out there and respond and potentially paint myself into a corner because I'm interacting with someone that's putting fake stuff out.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a difficult thing to do correctly. I wouldn't want to be like a head of PR at a major organization anymore, because it's a nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what platforms are impacted by this, by fake postings or takeovers are incorrect or disinformation, or, and are some more susceptible than others, or is it kind of just everything's equal?
I think in reality, all of them are potentially affected. I think where you see the greatest influences through Facebook and Twitter, and the reason that that is because it is such short form interactive content, and it's one of those things that, I mean, I think I saw the numbers that said, you know, a few hundred thousand tweets are posted every minute or every second or something like that. So, I mean, just the speed with which that stuff transits and the fact that you have to look at it, see something, and then react is kind of a problem in the line of, I would really rather people take their time to validate that this is something worth their interest.
And for the content, does it typically have some kind of root in current events and trending topics so it can pick up that, you know, retweets or resharing or what have you?
Yeah, and it's usually powered too by some sort of bot connection, because the goal is to get lots of looks, and the way that you beat the algorithms on these social media channels is with lots of clicks and likes and whatever else, and it can get pretty big pretty quick. Matter of fact, I've had a couple of organizations, I won't say who, that have reached out to me online and said, hey, you have a, you know, an influencer type of thing, would you like to pay for bot accounts? And I was like, well, no. But I mean, the fact that they reached out and said they could get me, I think one said they could get me 100,000 followers for $100.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it was all just bot accounts, that anything that you post, they're going to go off and retweet and repost and, you know, whatever, which I guess if you're trying to get influence, that's the type of thing to leverage, because it does beat the math on the algorithm side until they detect that they're bots and shut it down.
And is the hope that by the time that it detects the bots,
it's
and
too
shut
late.
Yeah, it's too late, but then also maybe you've gained so many followers, you still have that large base. Okay.
Yeah, if you look at some of these you know, sort of influencer accounts where they have, you know, 30 million followers on Instagram or whatever else, I mean, I would guess, and I think there's been some research that's reported it, that something like a quarter of those is all just fake accounts.
Oh, wow.
And a quarter of 30 million is a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. And so how do these bad actors make the content look legitimate? Like, how can the public tell that maybe like an image or, you know, however, like, how do we know?
Well, I mean, I wrote about this with when I sort of crawled through the social media targeting of the Hillary Clinton campaign in 2016, where the organization that was targeting her figured out what specific sort of font she was using, what images, the color scheme, all of that. And then they put it out to their legion, like, use these when you post this content and aim it at these accounts and Twitter handles. And it was really, really good. It was very difficult for somebody to just immediately get to it and go, no, that's fake. So it really boils down to, we are kind of reliant on human beings to take a second and think, which is kind of dangerous.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because, I mean, admittedly, and I'll throw myself into this, sometimes when you see stuff and it's, you know, it generates an emotional response, we're not good at stepping back and going, hang on, like, is this real?
Right. That's hard. It's hard for anyone. And now we're just kind of overwhelmed and overstimulated, saturated with all of this all the time.
Yeah. And visual content actually is interacted with faster and more than text-based. So that's why you see these GIFs or GIFs, however you want to say it, and video stuff being used in all these short form content approaches, because people will interact with it.
Okay. And we've spoken about deep fakes together in a previous episode. But I did see you shared an NPR article just this morning about audio deepfakes in the music industry. And so that's creating another kind of, you know, compounding the issue, right?
Yeah. So that was a guy on YouTube that's created a bunch of, basically he took a bunch of famous people and he had them read like historical texts. Like, there was Jay-Z doing the Declaration of Independence. There was George Bush doing Shakespeare, and it was comical, but it was actually good enough that Jay-Z's record label sent them a cease and desist letter and told them to take it down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's impressive. So,
I mean, when you're paying a lawyer to do something, that's usually, to me, is like the line in the sand of, this is a serious thing.
And so it's not, So I'm understanding for the audio deep fake. It's not that they're splicing together Jay-Z lyrics to make him say that. It's that they're actually, they've created like some kind of, fake Jay-Z track to be able to say anything. Like, sorry, I don't know.
Well, so what they did was they've taken hundreds of hours of his content, right? His rapping and whatever else, and they put it through this engine, and the engine basically synthesizes his voice, and then you type in what you want him to say, and that's what it sounds like.
Okay. Yeah. So that's pretty intimidating for anyone who has, you know, hundreds of hours of audio out there.
Yeah. I mean, you think about all the folks that are famous that have big influence and impact, you know, past presidents and heads of major corporations and, you know, audio and video content. I mean, it can get pretty big.
Right. And so speaking of celebrities, something that we've seen happen is that celebrities have picked up and retweeted or reposted fake information. So what does that do to help kind of legitimize that in the public's, you know, perception and in their eyes?
Oh, it throws gasoline on that fire. I think when in May, when that whole series of videos came out about the fake pandemic stuff and Anthony Fauci and whatever else, and that video went from something that people were looking at, you know, a couple thousand times a day to a few hundred thousand times an hour. And it happened when an MMA star basically said, you know what, I think that this is real stuff. And it just blew up because he had a few hundred thousand followers.
Okay. So how do we combat this? Like, speaking of COVID-19, I shared a meme. I don't know, measly 100 followers or something, just like a joke meme, but it did put a disclaimer like COVID-19, like right on there, like go to the CDC for information. And so that's one way that I've seen, you know, platforms trying to take ownership of you know, combating this. But how do we approach that?
I think for now, that's probably about as good as they can get with basically using sort of NLP to tag it and say, you know, this might be fake, you know, blah, 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 go talk to CDC or something. Whereas in the future, there's, you know, some conversations going on around being able to use technology to basically watermark stuff that is real and isn't real.
Mm. Okay.
You know, I don't know how soon we'll get there, but it's also, I mean, it's a big effort, right? Because I saw too that there was a paper published, I think it was MIT, that said the amount of content generated now per day exceeds the totality of content generated during the first 100 years of the 20th century.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That's really hard to kind of wrap my head
around. Staggering. It is staggering. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So there's a lot of work ahead. Anything else that listeners should know about this topic based on what you've, you know, experienced and seen?
I think the real thing is folks should take back a little bit of the ownership of decision-making on things. I see people all the time that in my own personal life that will come to me and say, hey, did you read this or see this? And they say, well, this has been said about this. And my question to them is like, are you sure that that's a thing? Like, is that, what else have you done to make sure that that's, you know, accurate? And they usually will say, well, I got it from this thing. And it's like, there, you have to bounce that off and take the time to go off and validate, especially before you, you know, go off and tell other people that this is a real deal.
Right.
And I mean, I don't want Facebook and Twitter making decisions for me. I'm glad to take their information and use, you know, some of that to, you know, formulate my own thinking, but I'm going to make my decision based on the totality of information. So it requires people to put a little bit of brain power behind things rather than just ingesting stuff and vomiting it back out into the ethernet.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed. Well, Chase, thank you so much for joining us today. This is really interesting.
Hey, this is always fun for me. And we didn't talk about Terminator this time. So.
Oh, you're right. I was going to try to, I was actually trying at the beginning. I was like, I'm going to work it in. And then I didn't, but maybe next time.
Still aiming for that Terminator swag.
Yeah, yep. I'm thinking it's going to happen. They probably are working on a script for a new one anyway. So great. Well, thank you again.
Thanks a lot.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today was Dr. Chase Cunningham, a retired Navy Chief Cryptologist, a security and risk analyst at Forrester, co-founder and CTO at The Sinja and author of the book, Cyber Warfare, Truth, Tactics, and Strategies, Strategic Concepts and Truths to Help You and Your Organization Survive on the Battleground of Cyber Warfare. Chase's book, Cyber Warfare, Truth, Tactics, and Strategies, is available on Kindle and paperback on Amazon. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.